This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of June 13th, 2013. Convening at 5:38 p.m. Pacific, 8:38 p.m. Eastern. Summer Reeves, Chair. Heather Gray, Vice Chair. Richard Uzel, Secretary. This is a continuation meeting of our meeting of 2 weeks ago. And we will pick up on the agenda where we left off. Mr. Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you. Richard, I believe you may be muted after that long discussion.
Yeah, I believe I am muted. Yeah,
there we go. Now we can hear you. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Edward Steger?
Here.
Thank you. Rosenberg?
Here, Rosenberg. Here, sorry. Hi, Richard. Had to get off mute. I'm here.
Gotcha. Siegel?
Here.
Wilkinson?
Here.
Thank you. Diaz?
Present.
Thank you. King?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Norman?
Present.
Thank you. Kit? Tia? Can't hear you. Verzon? Lydia? Can't hear you. Funcho?
Present.
Thank you. Medina?
Present.
Reese?
Present.
Thank you. Alan?
Present.
Thank you. Apollinar? Can't hear you, Jessica. Henschel?
Here.
Thank you. Uzel's here.
Teresa, you're the best phone line. Get your phone.
Maybe Nancy. Carolyn Burton?
Hi, Carolyn Burton here.
Thank you.
Very late.
Coleman?
Here.
Thank you. Roberts?
Present.
Thank you. Kavah?
Present.
Come on, get your name back, buddy. Gray?
Here.
Thank you. Lane York? Thank you. Stitt? Or Verzon? Apollinar? Madam Chair, you have a form.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Good evening, everyone. This is a continuation meeting, so we are supposed to pick up where we left off. I'm not aware of any requests for excused absences. The Secretary has sent out minutes for the April 25th and May 9th, 2013 meetings. And if someone wishes to move, Secretary, would Madam Vice Chair care to be timekeeper?
Yes, good. I was muted there for a moment, so yes.
No problem, thank you. And I'll wait a little moment longer since it takes a second to unmute so that people can do that effectively. Thank you. Okay, so if someone would like to move approval of the minutes of either both meetings together or each separately, please do so. And we can dispense with those, and then we will go straight into committee reports as finance, which is next up on the agenda. Does someone wish to move approval of the minutes?
This is Janice. I so move the approval of the meeting of the minutes of the open meeting.
Yes, thank you. Yes, this would only be yes to the open minutes. We would vote separately on the closed. Thank you. Is that for both meetings?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Carolyn Burton. Second. Thank you.
Second Burton. Thank you. Is there any is there any abstention or objection to approval of the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Yes to approve the minutes, no to not approve the minutes, or you may abstain. Thank you. And this is for both sets of minutes, April 25th and May 9th. Open session only.
Okay. Verzon? Crumshow? Can't hear you, John.
Yes.
Yes. Medina?
I abstain.
Lane. Alan?
I approve the minutes, and it's not my phone that's causing the problem.
Yes. Okay, Apollinar? Mitchell?
I'm sorry. I'm going to abstain until I read them here. Sorry.
Giselle, yes. Burton?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts?
Abstain.
Abstain. Sala?
Yes.
Yes. Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Steigert?
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes. Siegel?
Abstain.
Abstain. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Diaz?
Oh, present. Yes.
Folks, please mute your phones.
King?
Abstain.
Abstain. Norman?
Yes.
Yes, it's it. Okay, it's
13-05.
13-05
abstentions? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the Finance Committee report. We'll go with Finance Committee Chair, care to take the floor, please.
Brian here.
Brian?
Because the election items are time sensitive and we're 3 months out of compliance with our bylaws, I want to move that we take up the Elections Committee report first to make sure we get to it. I understand it would take a two-thirds vote.
I hear you. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Who's the second, please?
Wilkinson.
Thank you, Wilkinson. Is there any opposition?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. There's a discussion. Back.
Brian?
Brian, may I have the floor, please? 90 seconds.
I'll just be quick because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Our bylaws say we're supposed to hire an election supervisor by March. Specifically, they say the executive director is going to do it. Summers told us she will not move forward with hiring an election supervisor without a motion from the board. And at this point, anybody who's given their money to Pacifica on the understanding that they'll get a chance to run in and vote in an election has standing to sue us. I think we need to start an election moving or at least have a discussion about what other alternatives there are, but we shouldn't let it fester and wait to deal with it until it's a bigger problem than it is now.
Thank you. Zach?
Chair?
Tracy?
Tracy, go ahead, please. 90 seconds.
Oh, yeah. No, this is easy. What's being proposed here to move the Elections Committee report in front of, I guess, whatever's in front of it, which I think is the Finance Committee report, doesn't actually address what Brian just brought up because the Election Committee report will consist of the motions that are on the agenda. That's all. So what Brian is proposing is something different than what he actually proposed, which is to put a new item on the agenda, which I don't think in a continuation meeting you can actually do or should do.
Brian here.
Brian, before I get back here, let me see if there are any other people who wish to speak on the matter. Thank you, Tracy.
Chair, can I?
Yes, Lizette.
There's a clicking. Cool.
And now someone is attempting to mute their phone and having trouble doing it. Go ahead, but we're not clicking anymore. Go ahead, please. Lizette?
No, just to tell you about the clicking.
This is Manager. This could be mine because my line is, I don't know what's happening to it, but it has a clicking sound that I hear it myself.
Well,
so I can go off.
She's calling internationally, and I'm really grateful for your participation, Manishay, since it's very late where you are. So thank you, yes, and sometimes you just can't control what's going on with those lines. So we'll do our best, okay? So were there any other speakers, please? Okay. No? You wanted to respond?
Well, yeah, the first agenda item from the Elections Committee directs the Executive Director to start the process of hiring an election supervisor. I think it's directly responsive to the situation we're in now. And, of course, any of the items from the Election Committee are subject to amendment or substitutes as fits our needs.
So why don't we just move along with it and let's cut to the chase. It takes 2/3 vote. Let's go to a vote, and it'll be up or down, and we'll get on with whatever we're doing next, okay? Is that all right with everyone, since there didn't seem to be an abundance of desire for discussion? Okay. So, Mr. Secretary, if you'd call the roll, the motion on the floor is from Brian Edwards-Tiegert, which is to move the Elections Committee section at the top of committee reports, correct, above Finance Committee and whatever fault. Well, this is above Finance Committee is what we're looking at here, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Terrific. So, thank you. So, yes, if you wish to move the agenda item, no, if you don't, or you may abstain. Go ahead and call the roll, please. Thank you.
Okay. Edwards-Tiegert?
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg? Tracy?
Oh, sorry. I vote no.
No. Siegel?
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
Yes.
Yes. King?
Yes.
Yes. Mormon?
Yes.
Yes. Brazon? Crumshaw?
No.
No. Adina?
Hello?
Yeah.
I vote yes.
Brenda?
I vote
Brenda?
Yes.
Hello? Hello? Can't hear you, Brenda.
She's saying yes.
Brenda, I vote yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yes. Alan?
Yes.
Yes. Polinar? Henschel?
No.
No. Uzel, no. Burden?
No.
No. Coleman?
No.
No. Roberts?
Yes.
Yes. Saba?
Yes.
Yes. Gray? Heather? Heather? Can't hear you. Lane, yours?
No.
No. Heather Gray, can you hear me? Yes.
Mr. Secretary?
Yes, who is this?
Ms. Teresa, I would like to change my vote to no.
Okay. No. Okay, did I miss anybody? Gray, ever come back? Let's see. 9 yes. Eight no. 9 yes, 8 no.
Okay, so the motion fails because it requires a 2/3 vote. Okay, thank you. So we'll continue with the agenda as laid out.
It's a point of order that the chair may vote in case of a tie to break or make a tie.
Sure, but it's
there's no tie.
In this instance, thank you, because of the 2/3 majority required. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. So we shall move on with the agenda as continued, which is the Finance Committee reports, and if the chair of the Finance Committee would like to take the floor and dispense with any motions which are no longer relevant and motivate any which aren't. Thank you.
Yes. Sure. I will do that. Okay. I'm just going to open up the agenda so that I have the motion language in front of me. Just give me a second to do that. All right. There are four of them There are five of them, and I think that only a couple of them are relevant at this point in time because it's been about 6 months since we had a finance committee report. So I'll just go through them in the order that they're on the agenda, and if we can cooperate as a group with the ones that sort of need to be tabled because they're not relevant anymore or referred, then we should be able to get through this reasonably quickly and move on to the next item on the agenda. So the first motion that's on the agenda is in fact one that is technically moot. I will read it. It's a motion that the NSC strongly recommends to the PNB and to the KPFK general manager that the implementation and functioning of a lockbox system at KPFK, as required by the F10 and FY11 outside auditors, and I think part of the motion disappeared, but what would follow after that is that it be implemented immediately. At the time, it was prior to the spring KPFK fund drive. I'm happy to report that that did, in fact, happen. So, therefore, there is no need for the NSC to recommend to the PNB or for the PNB to recommend to anyone that the implementation and functioning of a lockbox system at KPFK go forward. So with the permission of the body, I'm going to recommend that we go ahead and table this motion as it is unnecessary. If I don't hear any objections to that, I'll assume that's the action that we're taking.
And this is Summer, if I may speak from the putting on my management executive hat. Yes, this has
yes.
occurred, and we have had compliance, and we've been working on many aspects of, as everyone knows, improving the financial operational aspects of the network. So it is, at this point, a moot point because it has occurred.
Okay.
So if there's no objection, then we could mark it in the record as a fait accompli. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda, information?
Yes, Brenda.
I have a, will the CFO be on the call at all tonight?
I thought he was, and I will send a text to my office, okay?
I am on the call.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thank you, Raul.
I'm sorry. I didn't call your name, Raul. Raul's
over
there.
Okay. All right. So moving on to motion two. Motion two is also, I believe, moot. It was a motion that the NFC asked the interim executive director for a written report as to why the audit is still not done and whether or not the 140-day waiver for the CPP has been applied for and granted. The NFC has since received the 140-day waiver document, so we know that it has been applied for. I would assume that significant information was provided by the CFO on the last NFC phone call regarding the status of the audit, and I believe that the CPB waiver has been granted. Maybe the CFO or the ED could simply address those questions for the stream, and I don't think that a motion would need to be put forward here.
Do you want me to take this for a brief moment?
If you would.
Okay, so we applied for the waiver. They wanted more of a narrative as to what has gone on with the books and why more extensive with there. I attended all of the NFCB conference in San Francisco and met with Bruce Theriau from the CPB after one of the sessions to discuss our particular challenges as a network at this point in time. CPB is keenly aware of all of our business, and I think it's quite sympathetic as long as we get our act together and continue to address various deficiencies of the past. I've returned the Communications Act policy, deployed it to management. We're addressing various aspects of the deficiencies noted in their audit. And as to this, he offered me reassurance that we were, that so long as we continue to update them and provide them with a narrative and to actually get the audit finished, the June 30th deadline would not be, we would be able to have a little bit of time past that. So, yes, we're still dealing with them, but communication seems to be good, and we're providing them with the additional documentation that they need.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm actually going to reverse the order quickly because...
Wait, quick question on that.
Okay, I was trying to move us through, but go ahead, Brian.
So how much time would we have past the June 30th deadline, and when do you actually expect to be done with the audit?
I will ask Raul to address when we actually expect to be done with the audit. Here is, we were concerned that it would be an absolute drop dead. You will lose your funding at June 30th. They are not going to hold on to our funding indefinitely. The fiscal year rolls around very shortly for us, but they will work with us, I believe, basically during that following month. So I'm working on getting that in writing from them, and I will update the board at our next meeting. But they know sort of where we're at with our audit. So Raul, do you want to address when I spoke to Paul O'Grady, our auditor, last week, but Raul is working on it on a day-to-day basis.
Although we have secured a waiver, we are not slowing down. We are continuously working with our auditors and trying to finish the audit by the original deadline, although the auditors had indicated that it would be impossible. But we have not really communicated to the auditors our waiver at this point, so that there will be no delays or anything like that, that they're really pursuing to get that done at the very least, a few days within those original deadlines.
Okay, thanks, Raul. All right, so I'm going to take a little bit of liberty and flip items 3 and 4 on the agenda, and the reason for that is that then we will move to the items that will require a board discussion and vote. I think
number 2 is being tabled, right?
Yes. Okay, so item 4, which is now going to be item 3, is simply a referral request. The director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, Brian DeShazer, came and visited the Finance Committee a couple of weeks ago, made some specific requests of us. One of those requests was, in the opinion of the Finance Committee, not really correctly brought to our committee, so we are asking the PNB for permission to transfer this item to the committee where we think it belongs. So the motion on the table is that whereas the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives has asked that the Pacifica National Board consider having from the vault, the 30-minute archives program, be aired on all Pacifica stations, the NFC recommends that the programming committee take up this Pacifica Radio Archives request. So basically what I'm bringing to the full board is the NFC's sentiment that we would like this request to be handled by the PNB Programming Committee and to refer it there. So that's what I'm putting on the floor.
Benito to the stack.
Okay, go ahead,
okay.
Benito. Yep. Yeah, I would just ask the question, why does the National Finance Committee feel that it's their responsibility to forward that motion to another committee? It would seem to me that if they feel that the motion is improper, or not improper, but in the wrong place, was made to the wrong committee, then all they got to do is tell the person, do it all over again, take it over there. I don't see why we have to deal with that right now.
Well, I'll tell you what the NFC's opinion was, which was that we wanted to treat the request from the staff member with some respect and do something with it, rather than basically say, wrong committee, you have to go to some other committee. And we felt that the individual putting forward the request, who is a valued staff member, had some good reasons for feeling that it was important and wanting board action. So I would say that we're doing this in the spirit of being helpful and treating staff with respect. It's certainly the option of the programming committee to make a decision that they don't want to deal with it, but my preference would be that it be formally referred, which I don't think has to take very long. It is, in fact, a matter of programming and not a matter of finance.
Okay.
John to the stack.
The Janet.
Yes. Okay, I think it was John and then Janet.
And then Janice, I think.
Yes,
okay.
Benito, what Benito expressed is exactly what I felt when I first heard this motion to refer, but once I understood the rationale that we were discussing the idea of taking something that someone had brought to the Finance Committee and treating it respectfully so that it could be forwarded to the correct committee, and I recognized then that within other organizations that I'm familiar with, this is the process that is followed in order to at least have some accountability. A person comes to one committee and they can be told it was referred by this committee to this other committee, which will be the more appropriate one to deal with it. So I feel, Benito, at this point that I would support that because the rationale makes sense. And after hearing a considerable discussion in the Finance Committee, I am convinced that that's the right way to go. Thank you.
Okay. I think the next person on the back was Janet, followed by Janice.
Oh, well, John basically expressed whatever my feelings were about this motion better than I would have. It's yeah, I think it deserves wide exposure, this idea of Pacifica Archives being a separate programming entity, but also getting paid for it. It should be discussed network-wide. I mean, as many committees as possible, and I think, of course, the programming committee is the right one. So there. Thank you.
Okay. And I think Janice was next.
I agree with Janet and John, and if I understood Tracy's motivation, I believe a motion may be appropriate to move Finance Committee item number 4 to the Programming Committee. And that's the motion I'm making.
I'll second that. Teresa.
Point of order. Point of order. Isn't that what the motion is from the Finance Committee?
Yes, it is. Basically, Janice and Teresa are just upholding the motion that's on the floor, which is great. I don't think we need a new one.
So maybe we should just go to a vote. Is there any opposition to this? Can we ask that? If there's no opposition?
Hello?
Or any abstentions? Okay.
Brian right. Here with a question, not opposition.
Go ahead, Brian.
Why did we skip item 3 from the Finance Committee?
We didn't. I just flipped the order because items 4 and 5 will require full votes, and I wasn't sure that item 3 did because it was just a referral. We're not skipping. We're going to it next.
I gotcha.
Okay, so this is for the must carry from the vote, correct?
Yep.
So I have no opposition. All right, passed by unanimous consent. Mr. Secretary, if you can mark that down on the record, please. Thank you. Go ahead to your next motion. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Okay, so the next two will require votes of the board and probably some discussion. The next item, formerly number 3, now item number 4, also came to the committee at the, the activation of Brian DeShazer, the archives director. It was within a number of things that he brought to the Finance Committee for consideration, some of which we are still considering regarding the financial challenges for the archives and the ways in which that intersected with the very exciting news that they have reason to be optimistic regarding some grant funding coming in this year. Okay, so the motion is, the NSC recommends to the Pacifica National Board that going forward, stations pay their 2.5% levy for the Pacifica Radio Archives directly to the Pacifica Radio Archives.
just to motivate briefly the intent of the motion or the things that were stated in its defense. Was that for certain stations that have financial challenges, it may be possible to keep for cash flow reasons to make, that it may be easier to make direct payments to the archives rather than have those funds bundled up in the entire 19.5% package. There was also some thinking expressed that this was reducing what is basically a two-part transaction into a one-part transaction, and probably for the purposes of accounting simplicity and transparency, that it would be good for the foundation. In other words, that we don't need to make extra money shifts, both for the sake of the clarity of our books and just for sort of administrative headaches, and that submitting this money to the National Office and having the National Office submit it to the Pacifica Radio Archives was probably more ponderous than simply doing direct transactions from station bank accounts directly to the archives. So that's the motion. It did pass the Finance Committee, and it's in front of the PND.
On procedure, this is Margie.
Yes.
Heather has just emailed that there are tornado, is it tornado? Yeah, tornado warnings, and her phone is no longer working.
Oh, my God.
We don't have a... She said the skies look ominous here.
Wow.
And I'm volunteering to step in as the timekeeper, if that's okay with you.
Okay,
thank you, Margie.
Hi, Vintra. This is Jessica. I got on the call. Sorry for being late.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you.
This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. Thank you. Go ahead. Did you want to speak?
No, I'm just got on the call.
I meant you were there. Thank you. Okay. Well,
this is Janice. Sorry, if this is Janice for the stack, if there is a stack.
Yeah, that's the next step. The next step is the stack. So who wants to be on it besides Janice?
Excuse me, who's running this meeting?
Isn't it summer?
I'm getting confused.
Okay, so here's what we sometimes do during sections. I'm still chairing the meeting, but frequently we go to any committee section report. I usually hand off the questions to that committee's chair because they're the ones that have the actual answers that the other board members are looking for. So that's why sometimes I identify people. Janice is next. But, you know, it's often not problematic to have the person simply acknowledge the next person who has the question. So,
okay.
Anyway,
I'll be really quick. I would suggest that we move forward this motion for one very good reason. In the stations that receive CPB funds, this amount of money is often used to meet the restricted requirements of the CSG grant, and it would also assist stations in being able to show the direct line of meeting the restricted funds for the stations that receive it. If the funds go directly to the distributor of the content.
Thank you, Janice. Are there other board members to the stack? Okay.
And my name's in the stack.
Brenda, I'm sorry, who's that? Brenda, go ahead, please.
So my question for this motion would be how the money will be allocated to the PRA. Will it be going to the PRA directly from each station? Will that be handled through the national office? Or how does this motion, how the logistics pan out?
The intent of the motion is to change the current status quo. In most cases currently, the archives 2.5% is bundled in with the 16 or 17% national office payment and then transferred from the national office to the Pacifica archives. The intent of the motion is that stations would directly transfer the 2.5% straight to the archives.
Okay, thank you.
Teresa, I have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to know what our CFO thinks about this. I realize it can be frustrating for the archives. I'm assuming that part of this problem is that because maybe stations gave money to the National and it never made it to the archives. But if a station decided not to give the money to the archives, who would enforce it?
Let me address one before we
one of the beauty of having the National Office is should be that we act like a network and that our executive director and CFO work together to make, you know, stations when they kind of act like prima donnas, make them, fall into line, and when they need assistance, they make some of those tough decisions about how to help them and whatever. But I guess I'd want the CFO's opinion on this.
Okay, go ahead, Raul. To give context, I mean, obviously this motion comes from the fact that we have two stations that routinely do not fund central services, so that's a dramatic contributing factor to many of these. Raul?
Although we operate as one organization with several divisions, which namely the radio stations, we operate as a unit, there should be an accounting of all the central services billed to each of the radio stations based on their listeners. There is an accounting, and generally accepted accounting principles requires us to monitor or compute that on an accrual basis. However, due to the lack of funds in some of the radio stations, it was probably necessary to defer actual cash transfer of those central services fees. And that's not only true to the PRA, that's also through the central services owed the National Office. However, that doesn't remove the fact that we account for the liability of each of the unit, radio station, based on their assessment on the fees that are being assessed by the PRA. The PRA, we are going to support collecting those in a timely manner. We are going to, one of the issues I think that came up was there's no deadline to submit the actual drive results or listener support numbers at the end of the month, so the PRA does not really have any idea on how much they are owed and how much really they are, they should recognize their income from that. And so that they could allocate those resources on their, however, their operations require. That's going to change. As soon as we streamline our accounting procedures, the monthly computation of central services, both owed to the PRA and to the National Office, will be computed constantly or religiously. And it will be there will be an accounting. Some of the radio stations may not have enough funds to pay that off the bat, but they will be accounted for nevertheless. So, like I said, it's really one organization together, but with separate units. But we understand that some of the radio stations will not be able to come on time. But the liability remains them, and as soon as they recover, and as we plan to do a recovery plan for the station, we'll be able to recuperate those liability or the amount owed to the central services.
Brian, with a question.
Thank you, Raul. Go ahead, Brian.
I just want to simplify the response, Raul. does it make your life easier or harder if stations transmit their cast directly to the archive?
They should. They should be able to do that. However, when they don't have enough cash, then that's an issue, number one. Number two is that there's not really proper accounting of what they actually owe because there's no reporting system right now on what the total listener support are subject to the 2.5 or the 17% central services. And like I said, I've seen the emails back and forth, and that should be rectified. We need to rectify. They should have a timely report on their listener support for the month, and that's also needed for our monthly closing. And we are dedicated to produce financial statements on a monthly basis, based on those information as well.
Can I be on the stack, Janet?
So I'm just trying to pin it down. Do you have any objection to this motion? Does it make your life harder? It's just like yes or no. Are we making headaches for you if we pass it?
On the directly, but I don't have any objections to that. We still need to do an accounting here at whether we send it out to the national office, a national office sends them to you. We still need to do an accounting here at the national office because we're looking at intercompany transfers and intercompany payments. So if the station can and should pay central services, I mean PRA, their central services fee directly to them. Yes.
Hi, Serene. I want to give one piece of insight since I've been dealing with this for, 9 to 10 months without a CFO. The smile that's coming from this is because we have two cents stations which do not pay central services, like, at all. And, in fact, the money flows the other way. That CRA needs to have support which it can rely upon. Brian and the archives team have successfully obtained a $128,000 grant from the National Archives. This is the first time we've been recognized by the federal government in this fashion. It's significant and important to preserve feminist recordings. It's really good. We have to be able to show that we have the financial capacity to support the other half of the grant, actually $151,000. And with unstable central services payments, it's unreliable funding base, and it's hard to put it into the grant documents and say, we're good here. So part of the intent of this is if you have a station which is faltering, it may not be able to make a 19.5% central services obligation. And as usual, we've got to figure out how to deal with the legal bills, the this bills, and the other bills. But at least CRA will have dedicated funding that you can identify. So I think this is part of what went into that, not just ease of administration, but being able to say 2.5% is something we should be able to count on your making, regardless of what else is going on. And we need to because it's an important part of the overall foundation activities. So that's just
our
context, I think.
This is Lydia. This
is Margie. We allotted 10 minutes for each of these items, and we're over the 10 minutes on item number 3.
Thank you, Margie. Would someone like to move to extend time?
What?
Does someone wish to
move to extend time, whatever it is, 5.5 minutes.
Is 5 minutes your motion?
5.5.
I like that.
Madam Chair, can you let us know who's on the stack? I asked Jim that this is video.
Thank you. I had Janet, and was Janice back on the stack? I wasn't sure if I heard.
Yes, yes, I'm on. I don't know if Janice is, but Janet.
Okay, well, I know
is.
Janet was, and I know Lydia is. So if I've not heard
something.
I was on up here with Janet. Serene and Janice. So, okay, Janet. Better make it 7 minutes. I just want to say that what is it? My turn?
I'm sorry. Was there any objection?
Am I on mute? Is Hensel on mute?
Hensel was on mute. Nancy, would you like to be on the stack also?
Yeah, I've been requesting that. I don't think I've been on mute. Yeah.
Is there any objection to an extension? Let's say of 10 minutes and be realistic, okay? Or it doesn't need to be that, but 5 minutes. Is there any objection? Okay, Janet, go ahead, please.
Yeah, while it might be a headache for the national office to do some of the billing and whatever for the PRA, the PRA reflects really the intellectual content of the stations. I have to speak in behalf of my station at the moment because we are in financial arrears, but also we are, you know, we have bequested to the Pacifica Radio Archives infinite amounts of Pacifica Radio Archives, and they couldn't really do without our civil rights broadcasts, our feminist broadcasts, our LGBT broadcasts and various liberation movements. So, I mean, I think really there has to be, and also there has to be some, I don't know what the word is, it's ownership that's coming to mind, and I know that's not really what I mean, but communitarian distribution of the PRA, it shouldn't be isolated in this way as a sort of separate business unit like the Mercedes-Benz of our, you know, of our car company, you know, some special fancy car. I have questions about that that I just have to raise. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Janet. Sorry. Lydia, you're next, and then Serene, and or else I haven't heard. Oh, and Nancy. I'm sorry, Nancy, after that. Thank you.
Yes, the question is to Raul, and I just want to ask, is there not a better way, and maybe you haven't been able to assess that, you haven't been here long enough, to deal with UNIT? I mean, there are several national organizations that have multiple units and so forth. I'm not sure that our percentage base is A, reflective of or accurate in terms of that being the most effective way to both maintain what the functions are at national for which the percentage is being collected. At one time, it was actually only supposed to be temporary, so it's never been made permanent, but, you know. there you go. But anyway, that's a question.
Yeah, based on my experience, this is pretty normal in an organization with multiple units and multiple subdivisions. They usually, in the commercial radio station, they call in this corporate allocation or corporate fees, which is the corporate office, or in our terms, national office, kind of pass through the expenses of the national office because they don't have real quantifiable income that they are expecting because there are corporate services. They provide corporate services for the employees, the people who compile the financial statements, people who oversee the radio stations. They allocate them according to the volume of business in each of the units. And what you're currently doing right now is basically a straight line percentage for each of the unit, and that also is good because it's really dependent on your listener support income, and but I'm open to do a study on what works. And. And the idea is that we should be able to sustain the operations at the PRA and the national office with these central services. We want to pass on the expenses that are not recoverable from other income that PRA or national office can expecting to get. But we need to pass on some of the costs to these subunits. And I'm open to developing a methodology in the future, but I think however you arrive at 17% and 2.5%, there's got to be some reason for that, but it reflects a percentage of your listener support, so it varies. So if the radio station is not doing enough listener support, so their services would also be reduced by the same percentage. So it right now, as it stands, it's doable. It's fair, but to our budget, when we look at the PRA budget and we see, listen, if we 2.5% will not be enough, or the 2.5% will be a little bit high to sustain the operation of PRA, then we'll be able to adjust them. But we need to see the overall view of the operations of PRA and the national office. And then we decide on how we're going to propose a new percentage based on that. But accounting-wise, I mean, it always happens. As long as we have, right now we don't have the procedures of requiring every radio station to submit their month-end listener support income so that PRA can book it on their books. Well, this is what we generated based on the percentage. They have to recognize that even though it's not paid immediately, we're going to be basing that recording or recognition of that central services fee income at the PRA at the national office based on that percentages, whether it's paid or not. And that's what we're going to, that's part of our new procedures, the month-end procedures. There will be accrual of central services for national office and Pacifica archives. Again, this will be based on the total solicitor support pledges.
Richard, I'm sorry.
And that's
Richard.
That's
it. Yeah.
I gotcha. Thank you, Raul. Thank you, Richard.
Summer, we've reached 5 minutes.
Okay. Why don't we agree as gentle people to maybe continue with the stack? Everybody try to keep it the same. Have Serene, Nancy, and Richard. Is that all right? Is there any objection to that? Then we can take a vote.
I think we agreed on 10 minutes.
Okay,
oh, we
well, then let's finish up the stack. Please.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you. Serene, thank you.
Okay, so I'm not an accountant, so I'm probably not going to be use the terms that are best for this, but isn't it possible for National to send out a bill at the end of each month based on what, you know, the stations have reported their income is, send the bill to each station and to PRA, and then the station submits the payment to PRA and simply notify National that it's been sent, or they submit it to PRA and PRA notifies National when they receive it, and that way there's no second or third step and no deprivation because everything is going to be perfect now, no deprivation of the archives, which need far more, you know, it's great that they won that grant and those folks certainly do work very hard and it's a treasure, you know, and we need to protect it. But I don't understand why it would be so difficult to simply just send out the bill at the end of the month and copy the archives so they know what to expect.
I agree with that, and that's a great suggestion, and I will work with the PRAs and as well as the person tracking our central services here to maintain a ledger for each of the radio stations so that all the assessments for each month will be accounted for, and then whatever payment gets, you know, credited to that particular unit. And then at the end of the month, they should send out that little statement, if I may, to each of the radio stations what they owe. So at least in principle, we agree on the numbers. And that's what we reconcile also here in the national office, the intercompany receivable from each of the units.
Right.
Totally agree. We'll enforce that.
Thank you, Raul. Nancy, you're next, please. Thank you, Serene.
Okay, listen, it sounds like everybody understands. Well, no, let me back up. I don't want to call the archives the Mercedes-Benz of Pacifica. I want to probably call it three-quarters of the brain and three-quarters of the heart of Pacifica. And that makes it pretty sacred in my book. I would prefer for the archives to be paid first. And especially at a time where we're trying to negotiate out payments to two struggling stations. And that for me is critical. I also appreciate Teresa, what Teresa said about how do we, you know, now we most of us, I think, recognize that this is a sacred aspect of the system. How do we then make certain, even in notifying, you know, the board, that people have that people have paid for the archives first?
Can you repeat that?
Well, I want to make certain that that we don't lose track. I think we probably all agree that the archives need support, and probably this approach that we're taking by paying the archives first is probably needed. But how can we be certain? I want to make sure that you know, of course, we have and appreciate his remarks and plans. But I want to make sure that, like Teresa said, I want to make sure that that we have notification that the stations are going to be for the archives first. I don't want to get lost in this and find out down the road that, oh, well, I thought you guys were paid, we paid this, we paid this.
Nancy.
And now it's confused.
Okay, time up.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you, Nancy. Okay, next on SAC is Richard Udell. Go ahead, Richard, please.
Yes, very quickly, our general manager, Dwayne Bradley, expressed just last night that he would very much prefer just making the direct payment of 2.5% straight to the archives.
Thank you, Richard. Is there any opposition that we go to a vote? Is there any opposition to the motion? And if there is none, and hearing none, Mr. Secretary, please record the vote as having passed with unanimous consent. Thank you, colleagues. I see it. Do you have another motion or no? You do, yeah?
I do.
Perfect.
This is the last one.
And then we will move on to election. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, so moving on. This motion was originally passed by the Finance Committee in 2012. It was brought forward by Member Ken Aaron. I will talk a little bit about the motivations for doing so. The 2013 Finance Committee reaffirmed that we continue to support it, and so we are bringing it forward to the PNB after much time has ensued. It's primarily an administrative motion that focuses on the monitoring of public events at the station, community events, panels and presentations and speakers and parties and award ceremonies and so on. It's a long motion, so I guess I'm going to have to read it, but I will do it as quickly as humanly possible, and there are some attached spreadsheets which document the particular forms that accompany the motion. You all have them in the appendix to your agenda and have probably received them every 2 weeks now since you've been on the PNB. Okay, so the motion goes as follows. In order to promote transparency and improve monitoring of station activities, the following protocol will be followed for all events conducted by stations, whether done independently or in coordination with another entity. Protocol to monitor public events, 6 items. 1, a pre-event checklist shall be completed and presented to the LSB and national management at least 2 weeks prior to the event and prior to any contractual commitment being made by the station. The checklist will include a description of the event, a budget, a list, and a description of the principals involved and the intended ownership of any copyrighted material that may be produced. Item 2, a post-event checklist shall be completed and presented to the LSB treasurer and chair and national management no later than 30 business days after the event ends. This checklist shall include a reconciliation of funds received and disbursed, items sold, gifted, or lost, and tickets sold or gifted. Number three, nothing in this protocol requires LSB or national management approval for events. The LSB at the station and the national management are expected to monitor event activity and exercise their corporate authority to guarantee fiscal prudence. Item four, this protocol applies to any events requiring expenditures or obligations of $2,500 or more, and or requiring at least 40 hours or more of paid staff time. The threshold amounts and hours are subject to adjustment by national management. This protocol will also apply to a series of events scheduled over a period of time. Item five, the accuracy and timeliness of the checklist of the responsibility of the general manager of the station, who is also responsible for the ongoing success or failure of events held under the auspices of the station. Item six, the attached checklist may be amended from time to time by national management. The checklists that are being proposed are at the very end of the agenda. They're one-page spreadsheets requiring about 10 boxes to be filled out. The boxes ask for the title of the event, the talent and the nature of the event, the date and the time, the venue, the person in charge, any station liaison, the anticipated income, the full cost, the anticipated attendance, and a budget that includes the expenses, the hours required, and the insurance costs, and any contracts, receipts, or expenses that need to be attached.